It's very good to be with you. Have a Bible reading from Galatians chapter 6, for those who have a Bible with them. Galatians chapter 6. It's a very short reading. It's a very practical subject. And I hope we will find it helpful this morning. So Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read for verse 9. Just two verses. Verses 9 and 10. Just earlier in the chapter, if you look at verse 22. It says there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And then the two verses that we're to look at this morning. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good. I want to say two things before I deal with the subject itself. I hope that everybody here has come to this church long enough to know that nobody is saved from their sins by the good things that they do. And nobody goes to heaven because they deserve to go there. The whole teaching of the Bible is that we are saved by God's grace. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am the chief. We are saved from our sins when we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us when he died upon the cross. But when we become a Christian, if we read the Bible, and I hope you read your Bible, we find that God has a plan and a purpose of the way that we should live. We shouldn't be like other people around us who are not Christians. And we shouldn't be embarrassed to make a difference between ourselves and those who are not Christians. We want to live the way that pleases God. Not because we're better than other people, but because we've realised that we are sinners by nature who needed forgiveness and the new life that the Lord Jesus would give to us if we asked him. So one or two introductory things before we look at the detail of those two verses. There was a time when you and I were just bad people. Some people find that difficult to understand. Me, a bad person, they say. I've never done anything really wrong, they say. That's because we don't realise how good we ought to be. We compare ourselves with each other. And you see, I'm looking at somebody on the front row there, I met recently, a very nice and a very good person, I think. And she says, well, I compare myself with David Owen, I'm a good person. But unfortunately, she's not saying much if she says he's better than me. Because I haven't been a good person. I've done many a bad thing in the past, and I think most people here would admit they have as well. And the Bible says there is no one righteous, not even one. So don't kid yourself. You're not the exception. The Bible says we have all sinned, fallen short of God's standard. God's standard is not being better than somebody else here. Compare yourself with the person of Jesus Christ if you compare yourself with anyone. The Bible says we are sinful people who needed forgiveness, but that God has freely provided it in Jesus Christ when we trust in him. The other thing in preliminary I want to say is a wonderful thing that God is good. We take it for granted almost, but it's a wonderful thing, you know. Those who don't read the Bible are missing so much. Read your Bible and see what God is like. In the Psalms it says, in Psalm 107 verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is good. In Genesis 1 and 31 it says, God saw all that he had made, it was very good. God made the world and it was perfect when he made it. Now if you're a tradesman, any tradesman here, we have one in our church, well we have two in our church who have joined us. And one of them it's perfection. It's a wonderful job. If I do a job, it looks like a do-it-yourself job. When he does a job, it looks perfect. He's a skilled man. He does a good job. It's what we come to expect from him. How much more when we think of what God is like? You look at the world, and I'm the kind of person who likes the countryside. You look at the hills and the trees and the flowers and so forth. They're beautiful. So much beauty and variety in what God has made. Everything God made is good. Then it says in Matthew 5, verse 45, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God sends a lot of everyday blessings on everybody. Now, in some parts of the country at the moment, they're getting too much rain. And they're flooded. Because they built their houses on floodplains where they should never have been built. And so they're flooded. But we need water. And we fill reservoirs up with water when it rains. Store water, because we need water to drink. And of course, we want sunshine. And in the summer, we want to go on holiday. We don't want it to rain. We want sunshine. And we have sunshine. And we have rain. And in their own seasons, they're all a blessing to us. And whether we are what we would call a good person or a bad person, God still sends the sunshine on us all. He sends the rain upon us all. He gives us so many good things. It says in Psalm 86 and verse 5, "For you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you." Forgiving and good. It comes back to the fact that we don't deserve God's forgiveness, you know. When we do bad things, normally what happens if you commit a crime, in the normal run of things, they punish you for the crime you commit when they catch you. But you know, it's a wonderful thing we learn in the Bible that God prefers to forgive sin than to punish it. Did you know that? God much prefers to forgive sin than to punish sin. I know that because if he would prefer to punish sin, he wouldn't have sent a saviour. He would have just punished mankind for their sin. But he sent a saviour because he prefers to forgive our sins. He said, "Just come to my son. Put your trust in him and what he has done for you, and I will forgive all." D.L. Moody, a preacher from many years back now, used to say, salvation is as free as the air you breathe. You don't buy it. You don't save up until you've enough and you go to the bank of salvation to buy it. It's free. God is so free in his forgiveness and his goodness to us. And God is good in one way and another to all mankind. Psalm 34 and verse 8, it says, "Taste and see." That means experience it for yourself. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Do you know from your own experience that God is good? Do you put your trust in the Lord Jesus and know he's your Saviour, your sins are forgiven, and he's your Father in heaven? Our Father which art in heaven, we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Do you come to him with that confidence because you trust in what he has done for us in the Lord Jesus? Come to him as your Father in heaven and bring your needs to him. Psalm 23, in verse 6 of the Psalm says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and love. It doesn't mean that everything runs perfect for us every day. It doesn't. It's a fallen and sinful world. But it means even in everything, God is at work for our good. Romans 8:28 says, "In all things, God is at work for the good of those that love him." Even the unpleasant things that happen in our lives, God can bring good out of them for us. He's at work for our ultimate and eternal good. Well, God is good to us. He's good, he is good to us. Now, I want you to think as well. Think of the three things in the spiritual way. He gives us his word. Without the word of God, we would not know where we were. We'd be in utter confusion as to how to live or what God required. God gives us his word. He gives us the Lord Jesus because we can't save ourselves. And the Lord Jesus loved us and he gave himself for us when he died on the cross. And he gives the Holy Spirit to all who believe to help them, to sanctify us, to help us to live a Christ-like life, which is what is pleasing to God. We have hymns in our book, I hope you know them. One of them says, "Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind." It's a wonderful thing, you know, if you know a person, a friend who is kind. And then you think, well, God is kind. So very kind to us. We almost take it for granted, but it's true, he's kind. Another one of our hymns, speaking about the creation, really, says this, Yes, God is good, all nature says, by God's own hand with speech endued, and men in louder notes of praise should sing for joy that God is good. Do you sing for joy that God is good? Does it make your heart glad to reflect on the fact God is good and he is good to you? But it should make us glad. One other brief thing, and these are all introductory, but I assure you the message won't be too long. Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, was very good. It's a wonderful thing to read the Bible and to read about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in one place in John's Gospel, he said, the Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. No one else could ever say that. We look at the life of the Lord Jesus. He was without sin. He went about, the Bible says, doing good. I noted the verse down here. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. When you see those, he went around doing good. And then you read the Gospel, it's a summary of so much goodness and compassion, so much kindness and generosity. The Lord Jesus was always busy. He never sat back, you know, doing nothing, having a day off, as you might say. But he was never too busy when somebody came to him in need to respond to their need in a positive way. There's another verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in the heavenly glory, yet for your sakes he became poor, the child of Bethlehem, the lad of Nazareth, so that you through his poverty might become rich, dwell in the eternal glory with him. Then he said in another place, the Lord Jesus said, I am among you as one that serves. He was the eternal Son of God, the King of glory, but he didn't come down to earth so we could all gather down and do service to him. He came down to this world to serve us, to meet our need. And all his earthly ministry shows his love and compassion. Then he died for us on the cross, made atonement for our sin. Now, God is good, the Lord Jesus Christ is so good. Brings us to our thought this morning from these verses. God wants every real Christian to be good, to do good in their lives. If you say you are a Christian and you believe on the Lord Jesus for salvation, God wants you to be like Christ. He wants you to be good. He wants you to live a life of goodness. One of our hymns says, he died that we might be forgiven. You know the line? He died to make us good. He died to make us good. That's his goal in our lives. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He wants us to do good works, not to earn a place in heaven, but to show our gratitude to him that he has given us a place in heaven, that he has forgiven us and made us his children. Says this, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's 1 John 3:16. Jesus died for us, and we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now there might be a circumstance when literally a Christian person might hazard and risk and lay down their lives to save their brother. It could happen in a situation. But the very least that means for every one of us should lay down our lives for our brothers in a life of service. A loving service to our brothers. We are not all to live our lives in isolation from each other, just looking after number one. That's the way of the world. The Christian way is different. Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now when I read that, I thought, if people see your good deeds, won't they praise you? We see, when they see your good deeds, especially the good that you do to them, and they realise you do it because you are a Christian, they glorify your Father in heaven. Especially when they are the beneficiary of the kindness and the helpfulness that you show to them. They praise your Heavenly Father for someone like you that has done this for them. says in another verse, Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in us, both to will and to do, according to his good pleasure. God's at work in our hearts to make us both ready and willing to do good to others. It says the fruit of the light, of the truth, of the gospel, consists in all goodness, righteousness and truth. So when you become a Christian, you live a different kind of life. That's at the heart of all these verses. You want to live your life to be more like the Lord Jesus. We sing a hymn, more about Jesus would I know, more of his saving fullness show. We want to be more like Jesus. I want to give you some examples. In the Bible, there's a woman at Bethany, in Mark 4, verse 8, and this is what it says about her. She did what she could. To you, how many of us have done what we could? Very high praise for anyone to be able to say he did what he could. She did what she could. Because the truth is, and we know it in our hearts, most of us don't do one half of the good we could. A leading Christian man in this modern day said this: one of the reasons for the mixed view, if you like, of the churches is that Christians don't do as much good as they could. One of the reasons for the very mixed reputation of the churches, people outside, is that Christians don't do all the good that they could. I think there's a great deal of truth in that, I really do. Well, this particular woman at Bethany did what she could in that situation. She did what she could. And there are many things for us that we cannot do. But if we do what we can do in various situations, then we please and honour the Lord in our lives. I'm sure you've heard, if you read your Bible, of the man called Barnabas. I used to go to a church called St. Barnabas, generally known as Barnes, you know. But he's a wonderful example of Barnabas, and he was fortunate, in a sense, I suppose at the time, was quite well off, because he owned a piece of land, but it was in a time when there was great need and poverty in Jerusalem. So he took this piece of land and he sold it, and the full value of the money he got for the sale of his land, he laid at the apostles' feet to relieve the needs of the poor in Jerusalem. That's what he did. It was within his power to do this. He did what he could in that situation. He gave the money to help relieve the need of those who were poor and in desperate need at that time. Now, there could be somebody here who's quite well off like that. I sort of half doubt it, but there may be. And it may be there'll be a situation where you could do the same thing. You might be relatively well off, and somebody else has a need, and you become aware of it, and you can do something about it. We'll perhaps come back to that. Another person I very much like to read about in the Bible, in Acts chapter 9, it was a woman this time, and she didn't own any land, and she couldn't sell anything like that because she didn't have much to sell. But anyone who knows the Bible will know me when I say her name was Dorcas. Anybody here know who Dorcas is? Put your hand up if you know. There's one or two people who read the Bible well enough here. That's good. Dorcas. She had a skill, didn't she? What was it? Sewing. Hands up here, anybody who can sew. So it's sewing skills are not dead yet then. That's good to know. So, now, when I was at school, we used to, boys and girls, learn to knit and sew in our school, you know. That's a fact. It doesn't happen now, I don't think. Now, if there's socks going whole, they just buy a new pair, don't they? But she could sew. She didn't have money to give like Barnabas had at that time. And after he sold his land, I don't suppose he had money to give in the same way either. But she could sew. And we find she sewed and made items of clothing for poor people. And when in the incident we read about in Acts, and she died, people came to the Apostle Peter, they were weeping, and they were showing the things that she'd made for them. Because she loved the Lord Jesus, she sold things for poor and needy people to show his love to them. She did that. It says of her, she was always doing good and helping the poor. What a testimony. Always doing good and helping the poor. You can't argue with that. They may not always agree with what you believe. They may not understand what you believe, but if you were a person who is always doing good and helping the poor, there's no answer to that. They have to respect it. And that's how it should be amongst Christian people. All the widows that stood around Peter crying, showing him the robes, clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. There were so many things she'd done. She'd probably been doing it for years. She did it because she loved the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. Maybe there's some people here, because we've got some sowers here, maybe there's some people here who do something like that. My wife's very multi-skilled. I say I'm a one-talent man married to a ten-talent wife, because she's got so many practical skills. The skills are not very valued today in our modern day. She can knit, hand knit, she's machine knitting, she can sew, she's worked in machining factories, on the big machine. She's really skilled. She's a wonderful cook. And so she's really skilled. So she makes a meal for somebody who can't get out. They come to her with things that they can't put together, and she sorts it on the machines and all this, because she's skilled. It's using our talents for the Lord. And you may have other talents. Sometimes I was doing a job at home, and it was late on Saturday evening. I had to put a lead solder joint between a copper pipe and a lead pipe with an adapter. And I only had a little bit of solder. Well, I'm not bad at doing it myself, but I don't think I'm good either. And I thought, if I get this joint wrong, I've got no water all weekend. So I rang a friend of mine who's a plumber. In half an hour he was down there, and he put that joint on to make sure I didn't run out of solder and not have a proper joint. It was the kindness of a Christian friend doing what he could. Well, there are many missions and other ministries that people have done motivated as Christians. Most people here have heard of Dr. Bernardo. Others perhaps have heard of George Muller. Then C.H. Spurgeon was another who founded an orphanage. Even the preacher George Whitfield founded an orphanage in the United States, where they saw children homeless and left to their own devices, destitute, and they provided for them. There's a wonderful work going on today in the Philippines, Christian Compassion Ministries, where they provide education, particularly for young girls, to keep them out of the clutches, really, of evil people. They provide for their education, they provide free meals for some of the needy people in the area, and they do it because they love the Lord and they want to be a help to these people. Other people have talents, like Dorcas did. Some people write music. Now, I'm not a great fan, particularly of classical music, though there's some pieces that I like. I like country and western music, But, some people write these wonderful pieces of music, and if you listen to them, they're moving. And they're relaxing, and you say, oh, that's beautiful, Even other people can sing, and you say, oh, that's lovely, And, it's a talent, and you can use it for the Lord. I know people, my wife used to sing duets with the minister when I was in a parish church in Openshaw. I fit in like somebody once said, God didn't only make nightingales, he also made crows. See, and I think I'm one of the crows when it comes to singing, because I can't sing very well. But my wife is a beautiful singer. It's using our talents for the Lord. Jesus said this. Well, let me give you a verse from Colossians first. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What we do and how we deal with and respond to other people, can we do it honestly in the name of the Lord Jesus? Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. That's to say, the undeserving. It doesn't mean Christians are naive, giving money to any professional beggar or something like that. It means where there is a real need, even if the person was considering himself your enemy, if you could relieve that need, do it. Our man was our minister. He worked at a particular firm before he was a minister, and there was a man there who gave him a lot of aggravation because he was a Christian. One day, this man who was giving him the aggravation had to write a difficult report, and he got out of his depth, he couldn't sort it out, and he was in a hole. And so David, our minister, he said to him, can I write the report for you? Because he couldn't do it himself, he left him, and he wrote the report very well. And everybody was very pleased with the report that the other man had put in, and David had done it for him. He didn't say, I did it, he didn't say that. And that man's attitude to David changed, because he saw David was genuine. He had no grievances against the man, even though the man was treating him very badly. and his desire was to be helpful and friendly. And as I said before, people ought to be able to respect that, even if they don't always understand what we believe. So I want to give you a few areas of application here and ask the question, are you eager to do good yourself? Spurgeon said, we want more ministries of the practical sort. You know the thing, talk's cheap. You know, people talk the talk, but can you walk the walk, don't they? Do we actually have a lifestyle, an attitude, where we want to be helpful, both to each other as Christians and to others we know outside, who may not be Christians? Galatians, it says, serve one another in love. That's chapter 5 and verse 13. Serve one another. I look back over the years at people, for example, who would give me a lift in their car. A friend of mine I worked with had a van full of Bible verses all over both sides. He used to drive in a car park at work and it's full of Bible verses, you know. But I used to go to an elderly person's home with a gospel, all that was a member of, and would take the service. And I'd have to dash like mad from work, but he would give me a lift in his car. So I could call into my mother-in-law's or to a former Sunday school teacher and my wife, have a cream cracker and a cup of tea and be in there. Without that lift in the car, there'd be no cream cracker, no cup of tea. So they were being kind to me. Do we do good to one another? Serve one another in love. Do good to one another. I've listed a few things. What is teach the wanderers? Some people adrift. They're dissatisfied. They're unhappy about something. It needs somebody to get alongside them and help them. Some are discouraged. I well remember being at a meeting in West Yorkshire. It was what you call a church anniversary. And there's a chapel and there's a church hall, if you like. And there's a paved area with a low wall here and a view over the beautiful valley. Nice country place. And I stood by that wall and I was deep in thought and feeling really low at the time. I can't remember what the reason was now, but I know I was really low. And then I felt a hand go on this shoulder. And I looked this way, you know, and there was a man who was probably then about 60 years old. And he said, and how are you today? And we began a conversation. And he really lifted me and encouraged me. His name was Brian Dean. He was a roofer. He was a pastor of a church and he supported himself by working as a roofer in a place called Penistone, which is a village somewhere in Yorkshire. I'm not quite sure where. But I thank God for his kindness to me that day. I'd never met him before. I don't think I ever bumped into him again. But he was a lovely man. And I mean, he could have just said, I've been in the chapel, I'm going in there for a cup of tea. But he saw me. And he was moved just to come and put his hand on my shoulder and say, how are you today? It made all the difference. I think it was Tozer. I don't know if it was a book, but he said somewhere, God tells the man who cares. Do you ever come across that expression? Well, he was moved to do something. And you can thank God, and many others have thanked God for somebody who's done something that others have overlooked. I've often rebuked myself when others have heard of some good that somebody's done and thought, I could have done that. Why didn't I think of it? Because that's what we're often like. We're too busy with our own affairs and we are not in tune, as it were, and able to notice others' need. Then I've got practical help that could cover so many things, like the friend who helped me with the job at home. You know, helping hands. Practical help, it covers so many things. This expression of the Lord Jesus, he went about doing good. There are so many ways in which we can help each other. Having time to say hello. When I was on duty, what you call door duty at church, my son reminded me, he said, don't forget, he said, you're the first person a visitor will see as they come into this church. He was encouraging me. It's true though, isn't it? If you go, morning, it's a boot, you know, hello Charlie, yeah, what are you doing? You know, very offhand, it's not going to be a good encouragement. But if you say, good morning, it's lovely to see you, and you have some conversation, you find out who they are. People feel welcome, and so they should. We want them to feel welcome. There's so many things under that heading of practical help. Another one is showing patience with people who are difficult. Have you ever come across a difficult person? Nothing you do pleases them. One or two heads nodding, so it might be you that's in mind here, you know. But it does. It happens to us all. People who come at the wrong moment. I often thank God for the deacon in the chapel where I used to be at Royton. I never went to his home and felt I'd gone at a bad moment. Come here, it was as if they were waiting for me to knock on the door. And then I sometimes found out later he was very busy doing something. But he never gave you a clue of that. He just made you welcome. He was glad to see you. He stopped what he was doing. He made time for you. And I thought that was a Christ-like thing to do. Some of us are irritated. Oh, the door, who's that, you know? Don't we? When we're in the middle of something. But that's not the Christ-like thing to do, is it? So we can learn from that. Be patient with difficult people. All of these kind of things like that are costly service in one way or another. And they're motivated by love. Because the Lord has loved us, he wants us to love one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God, you know, Christ in Christ, God has forgiven you. Forgiving is difficult. You know, it's a horrible thing. You sometimes hear people say, I'll never forgive her for what she said or what she did. It's a terrible thing to hear somebody say that. We have so much for which we need to be forgiven. If God took that attitude with us, we're ruined. But sometimes to forgive and forget, as the saying goes, can be difficult when we've been deeply hurt. But the Lord's calling upon us to forgive one another. We all get it wrong sometimes. I mean, my wife and I very rarely, I don't think we've ever had an argument really in our lives, but we very rarely don't have the same opinion. My daughter used to say, you always agree with me, Dad, to my wife, you see, to her mother. But it's just because that's the way we are. We have the same kind of outlook on most things, and we never really had an argument, I think of. But I have sometimes said the wrong thing. And then you have to come back and apologise. Now imagine if your wife's offhand and is unforgiving, it would be very difficult. When there's unwillingness to forgive, it breaks relationships and does a lot more injury than even the deed in the first place often did. But when we can forgive, it's liberating. We're not prisoners to the past and what that person said and how I felt then. We say, well, it was hurtful, but the Lord's forgiven me and I'm willing to forgive you. And you just move on together. Together, not fighting or apart from each other. The wonderful words in Matthew 25, when Jesus, you know, speaks in this way. He said, I tell you the truth, whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You know it? Cup of cold water. Giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. Or the other, you know, in that passage where it says you visited me when I was in prison. You know, when I was sick, you know, you cared for me. These type of things. You did it. For the least of these little ones of mine, the Lord says, you did it for me. And that's an incredible encouragement to do good for each other. I often make the joke, I may have said it here before, that if a cup of cold water is not without its reward, think of the rewards that wait for some of our tea ladies in church. Because they're giving cups of tea out hand over fist every Sunday, aren't they? And they do it willingly, cheerfully. My wife does the tea in our church. And she's a very cheerful tea lady. And it's a blessing to people when they are. They don't do it reluctantly, they do it willingly. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he's my disciple, Jesus said, he will certainly not lose his reward. It's an encouragement to show these kindnesses. Now, not just the cups of water, the little kindnesses you can do. Lots of things, simple things you can do. Some people just call round and say, how are you? To somebody who's shut in. I remember somebody invited an old lady who was on her own to Christmas dinner at their house. She never forgot it. She was always speaking of it, that somebody who didn't know her had invited, somebody from our church had invited her to Christmas dinner at their house with the family. She really enjoyed it, apparently, and she was really blessed, and she never forgot it. Well, in our reading, it says, well, in Hebrews, this one, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Don't forget to do good and to share. It's usually a sacrifice. Because, you know, most of us, left to ourselves, we just do what we want. You know, me first is the old attitude of the world. But when you say, not just me first, how can I do something to make that like they invited them to Christmas dinner? You know, if you was at home on Christmas Day, depending what your attitude's like, you might say, after dinner, I'm going to watch the film. And then, if you bring somebody down, they don't like that film, you can't watch it. You know, well, it's a self-denial. because you want to do some good to the other person. I'm going to pull this to a close in a moment, but whoops, ignore those. Let me remind you of one or two simple things. I'll rush through this. Keep your promises. That's a kindness to other people. Some people say, I'll come round and see you this week. And now I've got to the point where certain people say, get a day and time, because the answer is they always forget and they don't turn up. And they're good people. You see, another question to ask is, do we love others more than we love our money and our comforts? In other words, are we willing to part sometimes with our money when that's what people need? Or our comforts? It's like Christmas Day and watching your favourite film. In order to be a help to somebody else. Put yourself out for somebody else. Are you willing to do it? If you love your brother, you will. That's the simple fact. In our reading, it said, let us not become weary while doing good. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Don't become weary. Some people think, well, you know, and they give up. They used to do this and that, but now they don't bother. He said, don't become weary. Even when people are ungrateful, don't worry about it. You don't do it for a pat on the back. You do it because you want to please and honour the Lord. He says, as we have opportunity, there's lots of things you can't do. I often use the example, if somebody needed £500, well, you've not got it, but you've got a fiver. Well, you can give them the fiver and pray that God will give them the other 495. But if you don't give them what you could give them, how can you pray with a clear conscience that God would provide for them? It's doing what we can and looking to God to do for them when we pray what we cannot do. And it says to all people, not only in the household of faith, though it's first in the household of faith, the family of God, but also where there's a need outside. Many people in this world are starved of love and affection. For many, many people who are lonely, they haven't got one real friend. And I've said it many times, many people whose lives would be completely changed around if they had one real friend. You know, they could go to their house any time and be welcome. I know some people now, good people, even I would say Christian people, you've actually got to make an appointment to go to their house, or you'll find you're called at a funny moment and they wonder why you've come. You know, it's rather sad. Unlike that deacon I'm speaking of, Royton, who made you so welcome. You see, it's a wonderful thing. As a friend of mine often reminded me, it's a wonderful thing to be loved. And when you think of some people have no one, they feel really loves them, it's a sad thing to be. Starved of affection, lonely, discouraged. But maybe you could make a difference. You know, when they come in church, you don't overlook them. Have you ever seen a situation, somebody on one side, everybody goes down, the visiting preacher, shall we say, or some other person, all friendly, and the poor old lady or whoever it is goes out, because they're not a very attractive person. I read once a church, a Presbyterian church, it must have been quite a posh place. And this was in America, and there's a big load of congregation, and the minister's preaching, in walks a down and out. He had no shoes on his feet, barefoot, scruffy. He walked straight down to the front. He sat cross-legged on the floor in front of the pulpit, listening to the preacher. And a businessman on one side, smart, pinstripe suit, looking perfect, he got up, kicked his shoes off, went out, sat cross-legged on the floor next to him. Now, why did he do it? He wanted that man to know he was welcome. He wasn't an oddball or a freak that everyone would look at. He was welcome, so he sat next to him like that. What a wonderful thing to do. He did it on an impulse, in a moment. But it was an appropriate thing to do, to show his love and concern for the man. There are many other examples we can give. I've said already about caring visits. Sometimes just to listen and talk with somebody is a great kindness. I'm out of hearing, I have a habit, you probably think this morning, of talking too much. It's a weakness of hard of hearing people, I think. It's easier to talk than to listen. But it's wonderful when people have time to sit down and talk. There's a man in our church, he's a missionary worker amongst Muslims. Well, he's really blessed because he just calls down for a chat. And we sit down, we have a cup of coffee, and we just chat for half an hour or an hour. And it really does me good when he comes. Listening, Some, again, people who live alone have nobody to talk to. They rely on the talk or the telly for company. How much of a blessing when we just have time to listen and to talk with people. And listening is sometimes a more difficult thing to do, but there can be a real blessing to folk. And the scripture tells us, don't become weary in doing these good things. Unwearied goodness to others is what the scriptures call for. Unfailing kindness, always kind. Somebody that other people can rely on, that they care. I love that saying of the preacher Warren Wiersbe, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And it's true, you know. But when they know you care, they'll listen to what you have to say. I probably repeat myself and I watch my time, but this preacher who was preaching one day as a young preacher, and a man said to him afterwards, there's too much of Al Martin in that sermon. That was his name. There was too much of Al Martin in that sermon. I mean, too much of himself. He said, I didn't like it. The supporter said, I could take it from him, because him and his wife were constantly showing their love to me, welcoming me into their home. You see? He could tell. Now, if somebody else had said it, he probably would have got his back up. But they cared about him and he knew it. I think our time's virtually gone. Remember, our motive is Christ loves us and gave himself for us. God is good and he wants us to be good by his grace. We're going to sing a hymn and it has a verse in it, these words. Give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wonder sought and won, something for thee. May God help us to take it to heart. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Christians are meant to be believers and doers. May God help us to take that to heart. Thank you for your patience in listening to me. And I will pick